they organize meals for those that are needed. And right now, there's some meals that are needed. So if you can help, please look for Julie Wickline. She can help you know how to be a part of that ministry for the needs that are there right now. Also, the bishop is coming to our district, actually our district and the Great Miami River District, and they're going to be meeting in Mason. It's an event open to clergy and laity. So if you want to do that, registration is today, is the last day for registration. So if you are interested in going to see what the bishop has to say, you can look that up and register today. Next week is the Coins for Mission, so bring those with you. And we're coming up on March 15th, that's a Sunday, Fun at Faith. It's an event that we're trying to get the congregation together and just to be together and have a little bit of fun. So if you put it on your calendar now, that way when it comes up you won't have anything else to plan. You'll know where you need to be. So with that, let us prepare our time together in worship as we receive the prelude this morning.
Stand as you are able for the call to worship. God calls us to set out in faith.
The love of God gives us home.
Christ blesses us that we might bless others.
The blessings of Christ heal our world.
The Holy Spirit strengthens us for the journey.
The power of the Spirit sustains and supports.
The one who made heaven and earth meets us here. So please remain. Please.
It's okay. We're still learning. Good morning. It's a beautiful morning to be here in God's place. You may please stay standing and sing hymn number 68, verses 1, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
Please join with me in the opening prayer. O living Word, we lift up our eyes to the hills, wondering from where our hope will come. As we encounter the written Word today, may we be attentive to the movement of your Holy Spirit. Bring us to know of your loving purposes through the reading and hearing of the Word. Come and help us. We need you. Amen. Children, come forward for the children's moment. Okay, everybody. Thanks for coming up. I have a brief little message for you, and it might be connected to what you learned in Sunday school today, and or maybe what you've learned before in Sunday school. So, did you guys learn about the fruits of the Spirit today in Sunday school? Does anybody know the fruits of the Spirit, or wanna say one or a couple of them?
Banana. Apple.
Those are fruits. Yes, the fruits of the Spirit. What are some of the fruits of the Spirit? Because bananas and apples are really good, sweet fruits. Yes, but since Sunday school, they talked about the Holy Spirit giving us certain
fruits of the Spirit. Do you remember those offhand? Any? They're kind of like fruits that are sweet and they nourish us.
Self-control.
Self-control is one of them. Any others?
Love, joy, peace.
Love, joy, peace.
Kindness.
Patience.
Okay, so I have written on this fruit, different fruits of the Spirit. So maybe we could take one in and then say what it says, and you could keep it. So in our call to worship, we talked about how Christ Jesus came and blessed us, and after Christ Jesus blessed us, the Holy Spirit came. I always sometimes think of Jesus planting a seed, and after Jesus came and planted that seed, and we accepted Jesus in our hearts, we have the fruits of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is with us. You got one you want? Okay, so what does your fruit say, and where can you show your fruit of your Spirit in your life? Because the cool thing about the fruits of the Spirit is that seed is planted in us, but we can plant that seed in others, and we could show those fruits to others. Could you give an example of how you are that in your life, or you're given that in your life? You show that in your life. You have a hard one. You want to pick another one? Or you can pick a couple?
Peace, and you could just like try to make it so there's less arguments and try to be kinder.
Okay.
Banana.
Banana.
Okay, so what we could do today, we could think about the ways that we have had a seed planted for us with Jesus, and we get those fruits of the Spirit. And we could also plant that seed in others so they can get those fruits. One example I just thought about is the peace that Marianne gives me and the congregation when she plays the harp. That is a piece that sometimes I think those are little bits of the fruit of the Spirit coming out. So please take two of these if we have enough, and you could give one of these to others. Okay? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. Please help us be like you and give those little moments of the Holy Spirit and see how to others and have the Holy Spirit work through us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, take a couple pieces of fruit. Nathan is right. You could also get a bit of joy by taking some candy with you as well.
Let's continue on our worship by taking our hymnals, turning to number 68. To God be the glory. You may remain seated. And we're going to do verses 1 and 2.
Atonement for sin, and open the light gate that all may go.
As we go into our prayer time this morning, I think we need to keep in mind the happenings of this weekend with the attacks over in Iran and all kinds of people being in danger. Let us go before our Lord. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning being aware of the world. Lord, we just actually sang about where we want to cry out so that all in the world can hear your voice. Lord, we are crying out loud today. Lord, open us to you. Lord, we ask that you would be received all across the globe. Your love for everyone is endless. So Lord, we just ask that people will be able to see this and recognize it. Lord, we live in a world that seems to only trust in the power that they have, or that we have. We have a hard time trusting everything to you. So Lord, we are in a world that reacts this way, and we have sometimes no choice. But if we trust in you, we can always see choices that can be made. So Lord, we just ask that you would continue to be with leaders across the globe, that you would help them to see what it is that is before them. And that people all around them are truly crying for peace. Maybe we don't understand what that is. What is peace? Lord, open us to it, to be able to truly share it. Lord, we know there are many of our military and other militaries that are involved, that these people are in danger. Lord, we'd like for a resolution to be made that they could be removed from that danger. So we've asked for your protection. We ask for your wisdom. We ask for you to interject your peace. And as we walk through each day in our own areas, Lord, in our communities, in our jobs, in our homes, Lord, speak to us to know that peace is something that begins in with us and how we interact with one another that spans the world. So may your voice be heard all across the world. And now let us share with one voice prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, one way we are able to share God's voice with the world is through our missions. And throughout Lent, we are taking any offerings that are special offerings in this envelope, or if you actually don't have the envelope, but you can write on the check designated to the Lenten offering, they will be going over to Mongolia in order for us to, the partnership that we have with the Mongolian Mission Initiative through the United Methodist Church. And we want to be able to continue that work there. So if you want to participate in that through your giving throughout Lent, we invite that and welcome it. We want to continue that support. As always, we give in order for us to be able to give back what the Lord has already given us, so that we can truly be the voice of God in our community and the world. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Thank you. Please join in the prayer of dedication. Gracious God, just as you blessed the saints of old when they ventured forth in faith, so now bless us in our living and in our giving. Transform our gifts and offerings into blessings for a weak and weary world, that all may touch your great love. Amen. Please remain standing for the gospel reading.
Our gospel reading comes from the book of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. Jesus heals a man born blind. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Be still.
Suzanne and Beth. Beth Patella is a good friend of ours. We met her when we were in Circleville. And Suzanne and her have been singing together for 20 years. Friends, we have gone through our first full week of Lent, and we begin our second today. Throughout Lent, we are addressing our fears, which become barriers to authentic relationships with God and our community. Our series, once again, is inspired by the Fear Plus Less Dialogues Initiative, which our West Ohio Conference has partnered with to encourage our churches to fear a little less as we stretch our comfort zones to engage with God and our communities in our everyday experience and through our ministries. With this in mind, we titled this series, Removing Barriers to Engagement. Last week, we began with the root of all of our fears, which is the fear of being our authentic self. We looked at Jesus' interaction with the religious faithful, where he addressed the hypocrisy of their faith practices and encouraged them and us to be authentic before God and one another. Because authenticity matters. We can remove our mask before God, and the Lord will help us remove our masks that form barriers between us and the people we meet. Especially since we are Christ's representatives wherever we are. Authenticity matters when we represent faith community and aspire to be a safe space for exploring faith and building community. So the encouragement is to remove the barrier of hypocrisy to authentically participate in the many faith practices, to be the you God created you to be through a transformative life of discipleship in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our healer, the one who shapes our minds and hearts to live by courageous faith as we address any fear that rises within us as we walk with Him. Fear plays a valuable role in our lives. God give us fear. So it isn't something we want to remove from our life. However, it is healthy for us to address them rather than ignore them or let them control us. Also, to reiterate, our focus in this series is looking at how fear inhibits our engagement with God and one another. The Fear Plus Less Dialogues Initiative has identified five core fears that act as barriers to our relationships. We will look at one of them each week during this series. Today, we are looking at how do we address our fear of the unknown. I think we all can relate with this and can see how in our own experience it has affected our willingness to engage with someone, perhaps a group of people, a neighborhood, a church, and even God. To help us work through our fear of the unknown, we are going to turn to Jesus' interaction and healing of a man born blind. Now, this story in John's Gospel, which we have shared the first nine verses, actually extends through verse 41. The healing of the blind man becomes an allegation against Jesus for working on the Sabbath, and as a result, declaring him incapable of being sent by God. The religious leaders, led by the Pharisees, questioned the blind man over and over again about how, about who healed him and how, yet they never rejoiced with the man. Nor were they able to see Jesus as anything more than a lawbreaker. The fear of the unknown had shackled them to the comfort of the law. The blind man's experience was a little different. Led him to belief in Jesus, the Messiah, despite the efforts of the Pharisees to discount his experience. The interesting thing is that the blind man never really asked to be healed. Rather, the text simply tells us that Jesus saw him, and his disciples noticed Jesus' engaging glance. And then John wrote, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Before we get to the unknown aspects of this story, let's consider what was known. It happened as though the disciples and Jesus knew this man was born blind. And if that is the case, then perhaps the fact that the man was blind from birth was known by many people in the region. At least they knew about him and talked about him. They didn't know him or his family. The question that the disciples asked came from a belief that blindness and other ailments were punishment for sin. This belief stemmed from an interpretation of the Ten Commandments' command to not make and bow down to idols, with the caution, "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." This interpretation created a barrier of engagement between the community and the man born blind. As a result of their fear of the unknown, the blind man became a beggar that everyone knew about and talked about, but didn't know. Jesus, on the other hand, saw him and paused, which encouraged his disciples to ask him the question about who sinned, him or his parents. In their confidence in Jesus, they were able to begin addressing their fear of the unknown by asking Jesus for clarity regarding the barrier to their engagement with the blind man. The first step to addressing our fear of the unknown is being curious. See, curiosity gets the ball rolling. It is a step beyond assumption or being comfortable with the unknown. Curiosity moves us toward the uncomfortable of the unknown to see what we might discover. When we become curious, we should pay attention to it and do something about it. You see, it is good to start with asking Jesus the questions that come to mind. But then we need to move closer to the source of our fear to learn more about what or who makes us curious. In our story, Jesus tore down the disciples' barrier of engagement with his response to their question, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus said. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." Now, everyone understood that both this man and his parents had sinned in their lives. We all sin. However, sin wasn't the cause of the man's blindness, which everyone who knew about him had assumed, possibly including himself and his parents. They were paralyzed by what they thought they knew and had failed to be curious enough to test their assumptions that were based on long-standing tradition and interpretation of the Scriptures. Jesus offered a new understanding for the man's blindness. Jesus didn't question God's commandment regarding idols or the severity of God's view of how idol worship impacted the relationship and the covenant with God. The impact reaches multiple generations. Jesus did, however, challenge them to see things another way, which left room for God to work. To address our fear of the unknown, Jesus encourages us to be open to other perspectives. When we are so rigid in our own perspective, whether based on biblical interpretation, cultural tradition, or something else, we build a barrier to engaging authentically with God and our community. Jesus worked in his disciples' hearts and minds with his response to see beyond their perspective, to see the blind man in a different light. This alternative perspective also opened the door to engagement with the man directly, to know him and see him as Jesus did. And Jesus went on to say, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. See, our fear of the unknown can close us off, keep us in the dark, and keep us from engaging with our community to share Jesus with them. If we don't open ourselves to seeing life through Jesus' life, teaching, and love for all people. Now, removing the barrier constructed by centuries of tradition and misplaced fear of the Lord, Jesus engaged with the man born blind. John described, after saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool. Which means sent. So the man went, washed, and came home seeing. Well, due to the economy of words by John, I am sure there was a little more interaction between Jesus and the blind man before Jesus put mud made from his saliva on the man's eyes. However, this man likely wasn't sure what Jesus was doing with the mud and telling him to go wash. It had to seem absurd to him. He could have resisted Jesus' application of the mud, declined his command to go to the pool of Siloam, and allowed his fear of the unknown to refuse Jesus' work in him. But he didn't. He went, washed, and returned with his sight. And now as this story unfolded, he was questioned about how he received his sight and who helped him. And as he processed what happened to him and who Jesus might be, he could explain the what, but not the how. His curiosity and the how led him to open his heart to the who had healed him of his blindness. He first saw Jesus as a prophet, a man from God. But then, through another interaction with Jesus, he saw Jesus as Lord, and he worshiped him. You see, like the blind man, we address the fear of the unknown by exploring how Jesus is at work in the unknown. Not only will we be assured of who Jesus is, we will more likely authentically relate with the Lord to explore more of the unknown with him. Now, when the blind man, born blind, returned with his sight, he was perceived differently. John explained, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am that man. The man went from blind to seeing. And unfortunately, what he saw and experienced was a crowd of people who had known about him for years argued about who he was. Those who could see were now blind. They didn't know how to relate with him. They couldn't define him by his blindness, or should I say his sin, without the known barrier of sin giving them permission to not relate with the man. The fear of the unknown kicked in. Jesus has torn down all barriers to relationship. Jesus sees everyone as approachable and relatable. To address the fear of the unknown, accept people as they are. Instead of building barriers, we are to build relationships with our community where everyone's story is different. And everyone is seen by Jesus. Jesus has encouraged us to address our fear of the unknown, to see God and the people in our community with a curiosity and an openness to a different perspective, all the while exploring how Jesus is at work with a willingness to accept people as they are. So with the barrier removed, or at least identified, let's fear a little less and take advantage of any opportunity to engage in simple yet meaningful conversations with God and with the people we see. Amen. Friends, we are seen by Jesus. And He welcomes us to His table. He invites all who seek Him, seek repentance, knowing that we all are sinners, and also seek to be at peace with one another and with God. His table is open to all who come to Him. Let's take a moment of silence, recognizing that we come to this table in need of Him. Christ died while we were yet sinners. This proves God's love toward us. In the name of Christ, we all are forgiven. Amen. This is a season of wilderness, the season of Lent. The season we grasp to understand the divine just a little more. This is the time for us to reach inwards, to find the self that God sees. This is the chance for us to gaze outwards, caring for the Christ in our midst. The Lenten roads are long, yet full of gifts. The Lenten paths often seem chilly, yet warm with the winds of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is the light that leads us in the hushed nights. The Christ is our companion on the journey in the intense sunlight of day. We remember this time in the wilderness, the struggles, the hunger, the peace. And as we seek the divine in our midst, on this journey we crave the bread of life. And on our desert roads, we thirst for the fruit of the vine, the cup of the blessing. So through Jesus Christ's story, we remember the night before His arrest, the night of serenity, solemnity, and love. Jesus took in His hands bread from the table. He broke it, and blessed it. Eat in remembrance of me, he said. And after the supper, as the night grew long, Jesus took a cup and he filled it with the fruit of the vine. As he blessed it, he spoke aloud to them, "Take and drink, and always remember me." So may the Spirit who traveled with Christ in the wilderness and fills us with the hope of God surround these elements. May the Spirit break to us, speak to us in this season of wilderness, becoming our strength on this journey and filling our lives with love. Amen. The table is set before us. We will be receiving in the pews as we do often. Again, this is an open table. All are welcome to receive the elements. We will pass out the bread first, and we will hold it until we all take it at once, and then we'll do the same with the cup. This is the body of Christ. Remember Jesus' sacrifice. Take and eat.
This is the blood of Christ, the new covenant. Remember him and the covenant.
Take, drink.
Let us pray. There's a prayer after the communion printed in the bulletin and on the screens. Lord Jesus, in a spirit of gratitude, we give thanks for this time at your holy meal. This time at the table filled us with strength, knowing that as we continue on this Lenten journey, we will find your peace surrounding us. Amen.
Up to thee, and we'll be singing 1, 2, and number 3 on the verses. Please stand when you're able.
Now, as we leave this place, remember that Jesus sees everyone. And as we go and we see, may we fear a little less of the unknown that we feel, so we may be able to dress them and at least say hello. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.